Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
What a show we've had so far. Mary Kay Cabot joined us at 11. Paul Hoynes at high noon, both from Cleveland.com. Make sure you read them every day at Cleveland.com. And the Plain Dealer. Plus, we had a chance to talk about some other stuff, including fixing the Browns. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Browns and the Guardians coming up in just a little bit. But we are now 3 weeks into the season, and it is time to break down the big storylines in our NFL rapid fire. Here's Dan Menigan.
All right, well, you teed it up that way if we're going to break down the biggest stories of the NFL and this, that, and the other thing. And so we're going to start with the biggest story going.
Yeah.
Biggest.
What is it?
Largest. So on Sunday Night Football, there was a ceremony in the middle of it for the Atlanta Falcons where they introduced a whole bunch of people into their Hall of Fame.
That's really nice.
And their Ring of Honor. It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. A great ceremony. They went down, they introduced all these people, and the last one to be introduced into the Ring of Honor,
Tommy Nobis. Former great linebacker? No, I bet he's already in it.
Owner Arthur Blank. Arthur Blank put himself into the Ring of Honor that he owns.
Well, sure.
Yeah, right on. Yeah.
I applaud it. I applaud this. Okay, you see this acceptable? Because I don't even think Jerry Jones has been able to pull this one off.
Have you seen those great red jackets that they have for their Hall of Fame thing in their Ring of Honor? I mean, if I'm Arthur Blank, I want one of those red jackets.
And by God,
I'm buying. I'm buying them, so I'm giving myself one. It's like all those dudes who have green jackets because they belong to Augusta National. They didn't win squat. Arthur didn't do squat except pay for it, like the guys at the Masters did at Augusta. Heck yeah, he's in the ring. It might be a little much if his name's like displayed in the stadium.
There were social media loved this story.
Well, yeah, one it's fan, the ultimate ego trip.
One fan said, "I can't imagine the surprise when he learned the news." Trust the selection committee went through another rigorous evaluation before bestowing this honor upon him.
Gonna have to contemplate this honor with my my rock and my Bible.
There's a picture.
Beautiful.
There's a picture of someone put out there, Arthur Blank introducing himself, or inducting himself into the Ring of Honor, and it's a picture of Barack Obama giving himself the Nobel Peace Prize or the President's. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Uh-huh.
Another one said this beats an honorary degree. I mean, the lines are, how do I love me? Let me count the ways. This is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. It's the most ego trip thing that is possibly could happen. And it just brings to mind when Jerry gets in, because we all know how Jerry rolls.
I don't have time to have a bad time. It isn't on my schedule.
That schedule's about to be a little busy when he's given that honor. He's in the Ring of Honor for the Cowboys.
He should have come out wearing like a jacket with a Home Depot vest on. That would be, is he going to put himself in the Home Depot Hall of Fame, considering it's his, where he made all his money, right?
I would think that might not be a bad idea.
Oh, put yourself in the aisle 4 Hall of Fame.
Got to wear a great orange apron for that one, though, not a red jacket.
That is true.
Congratulations. You are the patron, or you are the honoree of the lumber aisle. You've really lived in life. Good on you. Mayor of the 2x4. All right, moving along. Cameron Taylor-Britt had some thoughts when it came to Jaden Daniels and the offense that Cliff Kingsbury was running. He had this to say before the game.
That's not what we do. That's not what we do. We praise our own team, praise the other team. We don't need to.
If I play the right clip, I'll be better at my job one day. Here's Cameron Taylor-Britt.
Yeah, Capone, they don't make them do a lot. So they keep it really simple for them. Nice college offense. Kingsbury's the OC. So, just keep it real simple for them.
Now, that NIL money isn't paying too bad right now because they got whipped.
Real simple college offense. Keep it simple for
them. Yeah, a real simple college offense.
As we run it up your you-know-what.
Uh-huh. Because that was always the thing with Cliff. They're running that air raid system. It's all about simplicity. It's all about those things. Well, then they got railroaded, as we all watched last night, as Jayden Daniels went off for two passing touchdowns and I think missed all of two throws in this entire game.
Yeah.
And Terry McLaurin might still be running wide open.
Did you? I don't know if you have it or not. Did you hear what he said after the game about it? What he told the Inquirer?
I had what Zach Taylor had to say that I was going to play here.
Oh, play that first, and then I'll tell you what he said after.
Okay, here's what Zach
back
Taylor.
On the tracks here.
Here's what Zach Taylor had to say.
Okay. That's not what we do. That's not what we do. We praise our own team, praise the other team. We don't need to take shots like that. That team hasn't punted in 2 weeks. They've scored on every single possession the last 2 weeks. So I've got a tremendous amount of respect for what they're doing over there. I've known Cliff a long time. I knew paired with that quarterback, this was going to be a very dangerous offense to play against, and they've proven that. So
Andy, we know. How guys like to hype themselves up. We know how guys talk in the locker room and all that kind of stuff to the media. This doesn't help anything, right?
I gotta tell you, though, I'm okay. Taylor Britt said after the game, he goes, I don't regret saying it. I didn't mean anything malicious out of the comment. It was made bigger than it was. Yes, I can eat my words most definitely. We did take an L today. Good for you. I have no problem with that. If you can back up the fact that you talked a little bit too much after the fact, I don't have a problem with it. I'm good with it. That's a man.
Bulletin board material.
That's a man. He's got to be, what, 20-something?
Not necessary.
I'm in my 20s. I'm a man.
Okay.
I feel like we got to put Jeff in the Ring of Honor. Jeff, you want to be in the Baskin and Phelps Ring of Honor?
Wait, can we put a Ring of Honor in here? Yeah. You know what we could do?
We can put it right on this beam.
We'll put
here.
It on the beam.
And you know what? We don't even need a pen. We could just take our finger on that dust and just write our names.
Baskin and Phelps Ring of Honor. Jeff, you want to be the first inductee of the Baskin and Phelps Ring of Honor?
I want Filar to be the first one.
I have other names I won't say.
That would be a good one.
I want Filar.
We'll bring it back for the
Filar. Yeah, let's do a big ceremony for him.
And then we'll put one of ourselves in, too.
Yeah.
We can bring Chris in,
and he can say, thank you very much.
Don't we have to put ourselves in? We're like the original members of the show, so
well,
at least
that,
I am.
You put a couple in.
Jeff didn't show up. Jeff was 2 weeks later, a week
good
late.
Good point. Maybe you should be the first inductee of the Baskin and Phelps Ring of Honor.
I'm good, man. My Hall of Fame agenda's
that's
good.
Good point. Trophy case is getting too packed, isn't it?
You teed me up for that one, baby.
All right, so speaking of trophy cases and everybody going after the Lombardi Trophy, guys, outside of the Bills and the Chiefs,
who's good?
Who's good? Who's good? Because I feel like every time I watch any of these other teams, there is some blatant flaw that is taking place that's just tanking them to this point. Like Houston this week, the inability to really run the ball. CJ Stroud had to drop back and make a whole bunch of throws. Their defense had some issues on top of it. We all wanted to crown the Saints and think that they were the next great team. Well, they got beaten up.
I wanted it to be the Saints, didn't you?
Well, of course.
A lot of teams that looked kind of special looked a little ordinary this last week. And you just pointed out a couple of them. Houston, one of them. The Saints, one of them. Don't let one game derail that.
That's right.
But your question... I think your question deserves an answer, and it's which teams are really good. It's Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's Kansas City.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's probably about it.
That's it.
Yeah, the NFC is just going to be a bloodbath.
Minnesota looks really intriguing, but they've played three games. And I don't want to – I'm a big Sam Darnold fan, as Dan has kidded me about for years, because I always thought he had some talent and just needed the right situation.
Oh, he's coming up later.
It's only three games. There's nobody in the NFC right now who I think, boy, they're really good. There really isn't. But there are about eight teams that I think they're pretty good.
Seattle, for real?
I don't think so. But I don't know.
For the sake of fun, I'm here to say yes.
I hope so.
That's
yeah.
For the sake of fun.
Exactly. It's Buffalo and it's Kansas City right
yeah.
now.
Something to keep an eye on when we get into October and November and
so you guys
see how these teams all shift.
Will you entertain the word Pittsburgh in here?
No, not yet.
I need their offense
they've got to score some points.
20%
better? What if their defense is amazing and they can do this all season long and they go undefeated for the rest of the year based on defense
alone? Okay, let's get back to that toward the end of the year.
We'll get to that in rapid fire when we're there in week 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we do week 11 rapid fire, if we're there, it's coming up.
When Russell Wilson is their starting quarterback and they're looking good, gearing up for the playoffs, we'll go.
I made you who you are, man. That's all I can say.
Let's ride, baby.
We made you who you are.
Let's ride.
Now you're doing imitations of drops?
Yes, I do imitations of drops because we lost so many of these drops that now I just do them straight out. I just think them and they come right out of my mouth. That's all we do.
See, that's how you get in the Ring of Honor.
Yes.
I guess so.
Do your own drop.
All right, is Trevor Lawrence just bad? Are we out on Trevor?
I never really thought he was that good anyway, so sorry.
We're 3 weeks in, and this was supposed to be the big one. He hasn't won a game since December. Like, this was supposed to be the big Trevor Lawrence coming out party season, and so far Trevor has been bad.
So was the problem him or Urban Meyer?
I still
know, too soon. Both. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
I still like Trevor Lawrence. I still think that he's going to be a pretty darn good NFL quarterback. But right now he's completing 53% of his passes. He's throwing it all over the place. The interception he threw that DeMar Hamlin picked off, just a terrible throw. And the thing of it is they brought in some talent to help him on offense. You know, they brought in Gabe Davis from Buffalo, who's not a bad player. They have Christian Kirk. They drafted Brian Johnson out of LSU. You have ATN. I think they have some talent. Evan Engram's been out. That hasn't helped them at all. You know, he was hurt here before the Browns game, or in Jacksonville before the Browns game. And that hasn't helped them at all because he caught over 100 passes last year. And when Engram comes back, he had a hamstring. When he comes back, if that offense doesn't look better, and I know that's a lot to put on a tight end, but we're doing the same thing here with David Njoku.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if Doug Peterson doesn't make the season. And I picked Jacksonville as a team that might do some things this year. We talked about it here on the show.
Jeff,
I thought they might surprise.
I have a weird feeling that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a second team quarterback, meaning he'll be better on his second team.
I could see that. I very much could see that.
But I don't know if he's going to get that chance because they just signed him to that big contract. But you know what, though? There's so many quarterbacks that are getting that big contract, you're going to be able to trade one for another.
Yes.
You know, these guys aren't going to be untradeable, but they're only going to be tradable for each other.
I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I'm not saying he's going to be a great quarterback. I think he'll be a good quarterback in a different situation.
All right, so we did the bad. Let's do the good. I'm not giving you the victory lap. You're not getting the music or all that stuff yet. We're in the screening
process. DeShone Kizer's coming back?
So Sam Darnold to this point.
Oh, here we go.
53 of 78, 67.9 completion percentage, 657 yards, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It has looked like a completely different quarterback than the guy that we have seen in various places. Again, we're still in the screening process. You're not getting the full-blown victory lap.
Maybe I should have said Trevor Lawrence, see Sam Darnold.
Andy, is this real? Dude, is Sam Darnold, like, good? And we all have to adjust our thought process on all this?
To the Phelps way of thinking?
That's a scary
thought. You guys are
thought.
Killing me. Thank I you. Don't know. I mean, he's up, what?
He's playing really well.
You know, if you go back to 22, he completed 58.6% of his passes just in the short time here. He's at 67.9. I mean, he's off to a great start. He could have his best numbers in any of his seasons. The Jets, he threw for over 3,000 yards in 19. He could be, though. He only completed 61%. 61.9% of his passes in 19. So, yeah, I'll buy it. I'm going to buy into it. I like the Vikings. I think they're a good organization and they've got good coaching. And yeah, he's in the right place at the right time.
Am I allowed to give a Sam Darnold thought?
Sure.
You're allowed to give it, but you're not getting the victory lap music. We're not there yet.
You can have it.
It's only been three games here.
Just throw that out willy-nilly.
When we looked at tape and checked out all of these quarterbacks coming out because the Browns had the number one pick and took Baker, Josh Allen was my clear number one.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Darnold was my number two. I missed on Lamar Jackson. I just thought it's an interesting thing here. I wonder if they're really going to make him a wide receiver. But I thought Darnold was the second best guy coming out of that draft.
Mm.
And he came in as a 21-year-old in New York playing for a bad Jets team. That was a bad situation. Then he went to Carolina. We know what a bad situation that is. Ends up in San Francisco for 1 year, gets a chance in Minnesota. We'll see what he can do. Remember, J.J. McCarthy is sitting there on the injured list all next year, or all this year. Probably the starting quarterback next year. Sam's on a 1 year deal. I'll bet he ends up somewhere next year on a huge contract.
More NFL talk coming up. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Interesting interview this morning on the morning show, Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, and you know, they've been pretty lucky the last couple weeks, and I think he's on with them for the whole season, isn't he? Rodney McLeod comes in on Tuesdays, Browns defensive back, and the conversation they've had has been open, honest, and I thought very realistic. So
Rodney does a really nice job on those.
He's got a future sitting behind one of these boys, doesn't he?
Yeah, so do the boys.
Which ones? The immature ones or the mature ones? I'm just kidding.
Ken and Anthony.
I know. I'm just joking.
Okay.
I love those guys. They know I love them.
Yeah, you sure do.
And I'm not so sure if they love me, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. Although we've known Anthony since he was...
just a wee pup.
Yes. Just a wee pup. All right. So one of the things that was said this morning, Rodney McLeod talked about, you know, the fans at the stadium booing. Here's what he said.
Man, this is a city that is very passionate about their team. They come there to be that 12th man, that spark that we feed off of defensively. And we have to, you know, make sure that next time we show up in our home stadium, that we do what we need to do.
Hard to argue with those words.
No. And I appreciate the fact that when players can sit there, there's a lot of players, some of who've come through here before, I've heard some like, not so nice things about our fans, because when they get mad at the end of the game or they think the team didn't play up to the expectation level, they get a little irked. No names in this, but I just any player that can recognize where they're playing, understand the fans that they're playing for. I keep going back to Phil Dawson's Legends induction speech from over the weekend in the back of my mind. And I cannot tell you how much, and I know you're going to laugh, how much he gets you, how much he understands the Browns fans and, you know, the situation that he had here and his relationship and being able to, you know, to walk into the grocery store still, or his wife brought up the story too, that they'd walk into the grocery store. People were kind and nice and not over the top. You know what I'm saying? That they respected the fact that Phil was a member of the community. And then when you hear players understand the fact, and, like, really understand it, not like media training. Like, in media training, they'll be like, hey, whatever you do, don't say anything bad about the fans. Remember, you know, they're the lifeblood of the organization, and they're the ones that keep coming to the games, and they're the ones that are watching on TV. And that's why, you know, you know that that's drilled in every player's head, right? You get it. You can hear it, though, sometimes, like what Rodney said, when a player actually gets it, when he really understands that it is important that you have the fan support. And, you know, and if they're going to boo, they're going to boo. It's not that they're booing you because they want to. They want you to play better because they believe you can play better, and you probably should believe you should be playing better.
Fans are allowed to boo if they wish. And the whole talk, I've always, this is nothing against our fans because I think we have terrific fans here, but most places do. You know, when everybody says we have the best fans in the fill-in-the-blank league, okay, great, that's wonderful. I've never bought that. They're all good fans. There are some cities where fans are crummy, but most fans are really good fans
and
support their team. So if the fans don't like the product they see on the field, Andy, they're allowed to boo. And sorry, booing is actually some kind of encouragement as well. You know?
Oh, I agree.
There are times, you know, Mom and Dad gave you a swift kick in the you know what? Well, you probably needed it.
It means they care.
Same deal with the fans.
So I had an interesting conversation. Yes, I know this is a ding, and I don't really care. Is it Jordan Renan, who's the ESPN Giants reporter?
Get it ready, Dan.
You can already do it right there. So he was doing some stuff on the field after the game, and so was I. And we were walking back up, and we just had a little bit of a chat as we were walking to the
have a group hug.
Ding.
No, I just thought it was interesting something that he said to me, and I go, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they stay in this building. You know, we were talking about whether, you know, if the dome is going to come to fruition. And he goes, and he looked at me and he goes, why? Why would they get rid of this building? And I went through probably about a half hour, 45 minutes speech about why they should move out to the dome. Okay. But he didn't really listen. No, I spent like 2 seconds just telling him that. He goes, you know, I've been around a lot. And I got to tell you, this stadium is really, really loud. And I hope that we can still have that if they move into another stadium. But I think it's interesting
but
when
see,
you
see that part of that might be the design of the stadium. We all know that most of it is because the fans.
Yeah, it's he said, you know, your fans are so close to the field here, you don't even realize it.
It's the same thing at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
About how close the fans
way
are?
The way that building is designed, it's like a pit. It's the same type of deal.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember being in your... You know,
Seattle's football stadium is designed for sound. I mean, that place, I mean, if you look at the way that thing's put together, it's built to be noisy. And it works.
I just thought it was...
I don't think most of them are built that way.
I thought it was a great compliment.
With that in mind.
Yeah. I thought it was a great compliment to you, the fans of Cleveland, because, I mean, here's a guy from, you know, who's covering New York. He's from New Jersey originally. And, you know, it was just a tiny conversation, but it kind of gives you perspective on something you might take for granted because you're at the game and you don't realize it. And if you haven't been to a lot of NFL stadiums, then maybe you don't see it or you don't get it. But... I mean, he had no reason to say any of that. He could have been like, oh, yeah, well, good luck with your dome and see you later.
Loser.
But he was just like, he goes, I don't know, this is a pretty tough place to play in because the fans are so close. And as I heard, some of our players had some, if they were looking for peanuts on their way at halftime, they found them because they were making their way from the seats down into the tunnel where the Browns run off.
They don't pack much of a wallop.
No, it's not like beer bottles, right? Is that where you're going with it?
No, I was just talking about the density of peanuts.
Okay.
Not sure what you have in mind.
I'm not walking down your road. So that's just kind of where you kind of sit on that when you've got, you know, the team talking about fans booing. I'd have no problem with fans booing. None.
No.
Because if you're not booing, you don't care. And that's the last thing you want is apathy.
You might be sitting there being just a passive fan, just wondering, hey, you know, I wonder if I should go to the concession stand now or later. Fans who boo are watching the game. They're into it. They're paying attention.
I don't know. Did you have any other thoughts on what he had to say there? I thought his interview this morning was really good.
He does a nice job on those.
Yeah, I enjoy listening to that. I don't know. I can't wait till tomorrow so we can get a little bit more updates on what's going on with the injuries. I think Wyatt Teller,
tomorrow could be bad, Andy.
Yeah, was he actually placed on the IR, or they just do
no,
we know he's out?
No, nothing.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you think he's going to be out for 4 weeks, then you've got to do that, right?
Well, I want to know what's happening with DeJuan Jones. I want to know what's happening with Jedrick Wills.
I think DeJuan.
I want to know if Jack Conklin's ready to roll.
You're going to have to after you find out what happens with DeJuan Jones and Jedrick Wills. Hopefully,
I wonder how many offensive linemen they've got out in Berea today trying out.
That's another good question.
Or are they going to go, you know, pluck a couple guys off of practice squads from around the league? And then you've got to piecemeal this thing together pretty quick. I would think that if they were trying to figure out what's going on with Teller, that they probably would bring in somebody. Don't you think that's the right place to go? Go take somebody off somebody else's practice squad because you know they're still getting NFL
Zach
reps.
Zach Zinter is going to be your starting right guard. Right?
So that's one. You're still going to need depth.
Well, we've been in that situation all season with the tackles, Andy. And now maybe more so.
Justin is in Zanesville. How are you, Justin?
Good, yeah, thanks. How about you?
Good. What's the good word?
Is the Cleveland Browns going to the Super Bowl or the playoff with win second place within 1 or 2?
All right, Justin. Thank you. Appreciate it, Justin in Zanesville. I would venture to say the Browns are not going to the Super Bowl after 3 weeks of the season. Just a gut feeling on watching most of the league. Jeff, your
too
expert
early,
opinion.
Andy.
We can't say so?
Too early.
Should we do some rhythmic chanting to
too
get
early.
Them there a little bit quicker? No?
Too early.
It's too early to tell. A lot of fans going to Vegas this week. I know a ton of people going out there. Yeah, you do too?
I do too, yeah.
Yeah, this might be one of the best attended road games.
Hey, that's what the NFL was hoping for.
For these Vegas trips?
Yes. Yes.
I know a ton. I'll be honest. This is a game I wouldn't mind going to. I think it'd be fun. You want to talk about a party? Going to Vegas to go watch the Browns play.
Yes.
This could be a home game for them.
No.
You don't think so?
Probably not.
I don't know if you're a Vegas. I mean, how many of the folks? I'd be interested to see how many season ticket holders actually live in that county that the Raiders play in.
It's a good question. I would think that there are season ticket holders in that venue from all over the country.
Yeah, More
corporations than you might imagine, too.
We have relatives in Utah that have season tickets that either drive down or fly down for the game.
It was almost a ding.
Not really. We're related. You know what else is weird? As the Browns
relatives with season tickets in Vegas, that's pretty good.
Probably. But no, you talk about the Raiders being in Vegas. And then on a side note of that, but the A's are done, right? Oakland's going to be without a team. Man, they'll have lost all of their teams in, what, 4 years? 5 years? When did the Warriors move across the bay?
Probably about 4 years
ago. It's been like four years. So within 4 years, Oakland lost all three of their teams.
Oakland was a really, really good sports city. But, see, that's what happens when you don't have either the tax base, the business base, or the interest in building new facilities. That's pro sports today, Andy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just the way this is going to go.
They destroyed a beautiful stadium out there. When they put Mount Davis out there, when they put all the seats up.
That was a really nice baseball park.
I mean, you can see how nice that place would have been. Now, I look back and I just remember the clubhouse for baseball was just an absolute dump. It was like a junior high school.
Folks might not remember it, but the Oakland A's leaving Oakland, I think it taints what was one of the phenomenal eras of baseball, which was the swinging A's of the 70s with local guy Sal Bando and Reggie Jackson, Burt Campanaris, Joe Rudy, Dave Duncan, Gene Tennis. They were in Blue Moon Odom, Vita Blue. That was a really terrific team.
I don't know, but it's always been a team that's been on the move, whether it was Philadelphia or Kansas City or, where they are now, too. It's not like the franchise itself hasn't been, loyal to any city over the last 100 years. I don't know. No. Let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.